Achrei Moshe. It starts off, and here's the strange part. The way it starts is by Yidaber Hashem Moshe Achrei Moshe Nei Bnei Aaron. The Korba Sam Lepnei Hashem by Yamusu. God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they came close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of Hashem and they died. So they got too close, they died. That's one by Yidaber. Right afterward it says in Pasuk Beis, by Yomar Hashem O Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Dabra O Nachi Kaval Yabo B'chol Yisrael HaKodesh. Speak to Aaron your brother, don't come all the time to the Kodesh, that way you won't die. It's the only time you can come in is with an Anan, with the Ketores on Yom Kippur. It's the only time you're allowed to come in. So the first question that everybody asked is, what was the first Dibur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Aaron? Hashem spoke to Moshe. They died. And then, Vayomer Hashem Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe. So what was the first Dibur that Hashem said? That's number one. Number two, why are we mentioning another bit of you? You have to, like, stick it to Aaron. You have to, like, do it again. Like, by the way, your son's died. It's a terrible thing to do. And there's got to be, unless there's a lesson being learned, the Torah wouldn't just stick these guys here and everything just for no reason whatsoever. So what are we trying to tell you over here? So we said before that the reason why Nadav and Avihu died, and we said this not this year, but last year, the reason why they died is because they weren't commanded to do this. The Pasuk says, Asher lo tziva osam. They did something they were not commanded to do. They were never told to make a fire in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or even in the Kodesh. They were never told to make any fire, since they weren't commanded and they did it anyway. Torah and mitzvos is like playing with fire. It's mamish playing with fire. It's a life, a chius, in and of themselves, Torah and mitzvos. If you're done correctly, if you do them correctly, then in Echanami, they're great things and you get reward for it and everything. But if it's done incorrectly, then you're going to get burned. It's a fire. It's literally a fire when you have Torah and mitzvos and you're not commanded to do so. A guy that keeps Shabbos is chayiv nisa. It's not just a line. It's because the fire of Shabbos, the greatness of Shabbos, being held by somebody who's not commanded to do so, can kill you, can kill that person. That's the concept, and that's what happened in Nadav and Avihu here. It was tremendously great what they did. They were tremendously great in their mesiras nefesh. They're willing to do anything for Klal Yisrael. They might have even known that they were going to die if they brought the Ketores. And they still did it because they knew this is what God wants in order to bring down the Shekhinah. They were willing to be moser nefesh. They weren't commanded to do so. That's why they died. They knew that this was a concept. This was something they were going to be. Chazal say an unbelievable thing about them. Masai Yamus, that they said the following line. They said, when will Aaron and Moshe die and we'll be able to take over? When will it be that they'll die and we'll be the leaders of Klal Yisrael? Now, none of you are tzaddikim gemurim. Who in the world would say such a thing? The biggest Rishayim wouldn't say they're out Moshe and Aaron. Nobody would say, let's take over from Moshe and Aaron. Dustin and Avira maybe would do such a thing, but none of you, they would say, Masai Yamus Shnai Mela, and we'll be able to take over. What were they thinking? So the normal answer that they give is that, yeah, Avera Gereres Avera, one Avera starts another Avera, and eventually you get to some point where you're sitting there and say, something like that happens. That's one answer. But there's an answer for the Chiddush HaRim, the Gera Rebbe, says the following answer. It's unreal. If you have no Negias, no Negias means you are not thinking about anything else. You have no negias. You're not worried about anything that anybody else does. You do things only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'shem Shamayim, and that's the only reason what you're doing it for, like Nadav and Avihu, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with such a statement. They looked at Moshe and Aaron and they said, Messiah Musa, and we'll be in charge, because we know that we're greater than Moshe and Aaron. Not that, oh, there were so no Gehabedover, or they had such Gaiva, or something like that. If you knew Nadav and Avihu, you knew what they were like, if you hung out with them, if you were with them all the time, you heard them make such a statement, you would have had no questions. Because it's mamish like, imagine, Reb Moshe Feinstein saying such a statement when he was 60 years old, and Rav Aaron Cutler was in charge. Oh, when will Rav Cutler pass away so that I can be in charge? You'd never imagine Reb Moshe saying it. But if he said it, you know that he meant it. You'll know that he's not joking around when he says it. And he's not trying to be gaivetic. He's saying, this is who I am. Well, that's nothing about you. Who says they said it out loud? It might have been that they even thought it. And the pasuk is, and the medrash is saying, this is what they were thinking in their heads. But they knew who they were. There weren't no gaivetover. They had no gaiva when it came to things like this. They knew this is the way it should be. That's why it's not akasha. That's why it's not akasha even in the medrash. The medrash says it and doesn't have any questions on it. Doesn't even ask, how could they think such a thing? Because to them, it was pashit to think such a thing. Okay. We know that the way you should do mitzvos, the way you're supposed to do mitzvos, is l'shem shemayim. We're probably not going to get to that level. I mean, we do things for rewards, and if not for reward, to make sure that we're not going to be punished. We're doing things for those types of reasons. We understand that sort of a thing. But if a mitzvah is done l'shem shemayim, that means you consider yourself nothing. You consider yourself so bottled to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's that anything that God wants, I will do, and I'm promising you, I'm going to be able to do that. Says the Pasuk, Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. With this, Aaron should come into the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur. This concept that Nadav and Avihu did when they went into the Kodesh HaKadosh, being mevatel themselves to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and saying to God, we'll do anything you want us to do, thinking that even though we're not commanded to do it, we want to do something for you, a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We want to bring a Ketores. If a person does it purely that much, L'shem Shamayim, even though for Nadav and Avihu, it killed them, in a normal person, by a normal person who's not as great as Nadav and Avihu, that is the proper machshava. That's the idea. The Gra says that we all know tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. What do they do on Yom Kippur? Mavirinus roa gezera, right? Kol, tzom, and mamon. Kol for tefillah, tzom for tshuva, and mamon for tzedakah. Each one of those words, kol, tzom, and mamon, are the gematria of 136. 136 times 3 is 408. The gematria of Zos. Says the Gra, the Zos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. This is the way that Aaron has to go in doing tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, to have those three things, kol, tzom, and mamon. If the Kohen Gadol goes in like that, that is pure perfection. Because he's going in only because the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells him to, for no other reason. For no other reason. That's the purpose why we say Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, by every mitzvah that contains it, that's a real mitzvah. Asher Kiddushanu, that he was mekadesh us b'mitzvosa with his mitzvahs v'tzivanu, when he commanded us to do it. I'm not doing it because I want to go ahead and do such a thing. I don't want to go. I'm not eating matzah because I want to eat matzah. I am purely only eating matzah because the Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded me to eat matzah by maror. I don't want to eat maror. I'm doing it because God commanded me to go ahead and eat maror. If I'm doing that with Shemayim, that machshava, that kavana, can be such a high derech, such an unbelievable derech. Yeah, it's just, it's so high. Bekor v'samah lefnei Hashem. That brings you closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what really happened by Nadav and Avihu that made them die? They were so unbelievably great that they died? Where did that come from? Where did this idea come from? So Rav Moshe gives an explicit warning here. Explicit warning, and that's what it's doing over here by Aaron right before Yom Kippur. A warning to Aaron. Aaron, you're tremendously holy. You're the second holiest person in all of Klal Yisrael behind Moshe Rabbeinu. And I know that all you want is to be mevatel yourself to God, to pull yourself together and be together with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You might, when you go into the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur, on the holiest day of the year, the holiest time when everybody's waiting for you, you might say to me, says God, you might say, God, I want to be with you. Why am I down here in this physical body with these physical, in this physical world with all these problems? Why am I down here? God, I just want to be with you. I want to be in Olam Haba already. I want to be out. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Aaron, everyone has their own madriga. Everyone has their own level and their own way of life, their own derech hachayim, their own way of doing things. That's what he said. You can't pretend to be someone else and say that I'm going to go ahead and do this. The biggest problem with most Balei Tshuva is that they jump in and they're makpid gomer on the craziest chumras, but they don't even know the din. They don't even know the regular din by such situations. It's usually the issue by I don't want to call them BTs, Balei Tshuva, BAs, by born-agains. That's usually what ends up happening. That they jump in, they do the wrong thing. Nadav and Avihu wanted to be masig. They wanted to understand, they wanted to get involved in something that they weren't ready for yet. They weren't the Kohen Gadol. They could not go into the Kodesh HaKadosh. They were not allowed, they were never told to, and there's a reason why they weren't told to. And they didn't care. They said, we're going in anyway, and look what happened. Vayamusu, says that Kodesh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayadabar Hashem o Moshe HaKorei Moshe Nei Benarol, the Korpes on Livshnei Hashem, Vayamusu. Said that Kodesh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. Do you know why they died? Because they tried getting too close too quickly. It wasn't time for them yet. They had to wait for their own proper time, and because they went too quickly, Vayamusu. They had no choice but to die, and therefore, Vayomar Hashem o Moshe, Dabar Aaron Achicha. Now speak to Aaron your brother and tell him, don't take steps too quickly. Don't take on chumras that you don't need to take right now. Know yourself. Know what chumras you can handle and know what you can't handle. Chumras are a tremendous thing. It's the only way for a person to grow. But you have to know what's good for you and what's not good for you. And chas v'shalom to make fun of those people who have the chumras in the right way, who have their chumras down. But it could be that if you're living in the middle of Omaha, Nebraska, the Kol of Yisrael is not going to be the best thing for you to take on for yourself. That may not be the easiest thing for you. You have to cause such a problem, you're not going to drink milk for how many years? You're in Omaha. I mean, that might not be the smartest thing for you to take on. You have to decide these things when you're going in. What are good chumras? What are bad chumras? Figure out what's good and what's bad and know yourself by it. Says Rav Moshe Ben Azai. I'm sorry? Which ones? only because the Korvas on Lifnei Hashem, they were so close to God that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to kill them in such a holy way. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Who dies? Who has ever died in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? I know they all say, well, the Kohen, when they were evil, they died and they had to pull them out by the red string. Never did they die in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They died in the Kodesh. 100%. They had to give the Ketoris, and then when they came out is when they died. But to die in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's nothing holier. Your mom is in Shemayim. You're in the Shar HaShemayim. It's like your mom is in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu if you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's no way to get there. You'll die when you walk in. But if you're in there already, if you're in there already, there's no way you could die. That's the concept. Ben Azai went up to Pardes and he died because he looked. Rabbi Akiva was able to not look. He was able to pull himself back and say, I'm not ready for that yet. I'm able to say, I'm not ready. I'm not going to go in. I'm not going to do anything. And he stepped back and he said, I'm not going to do anything. It didn't matter how great Ben Azai was. Ben Azai took that extra step and died. That's the concept. I saw Chassam Sofer this week. Every week it happens to be the Chassam Sofer. You don't get any better than the Chassam Sofer. He says the following: Parsha Nitzavim, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Tetzvav. The pasuk says, "Ve'ra'isi, I have given in front of you Nesati Lefnei here Re'ei Nesati Lefnecha Hayom as a Chayim Vesatov, the life and what's good. That's a Maves, that's a Ra, and death." And what's bad? Later on, the pasuk says, "Yud tes haydosi b'kal yom shemayim v'aretz." I have testified against you today, the shemayim and the aretz. Hachayim v'amavas nasati l'venecha. I give you life and death. Skips out in the tov v'ra. Uvacharta b'chayim. I want you to choose life. Choose life. That's what I want you to do. L'manti atov is tichti atov is a reckless that you live, you and your children. Says the Chassam Sofer. What happened to tov? Why not choose the chayim hatov? Why are you only choosing Chaim? Why not do Chaim HaTov? Says the Chassam Sofer, there's two types of lives. There's one life that is called Chaim HaTov. Chaim HaTov is life in Olam Haba. It's Devekus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where you're stuck to God, mamish as if you're glued to Him. Where you're mevato yourself to God, where you become one with God. You wouldn't be able to stay in this world anymore if you were a Chaim HaTov. You wouldn't be able to be here. You would fly up to Shemayim, you'd be a Malach like Nadav and Aviyu. If you were in that level, there's no way for you to be here. Except sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushes you down because he knows it's not your time yet. You're ready to go. Your mom is ready to be Moser Nefesh. Every time you say Shema, Shema Yisrael, kill me now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm willing to die, Al Kiddush Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, not now. It's not time yet. He pushes you back down. Not everyone is Zohar to that level. That's the Ora Tov. The Chaim HaTov is the Ora Tov, the Or HaGanus that is sitting there for Tzadikim in Olam Haba. Regular Chaim, our life, is a way of living in Olam Hazeh, where there's mitzvos, and there's Torah, and there's Gemilos Chassadim, and there's Averus, and there's bad things, and there's Mavis. The real Eitzah on life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, is Chaim. I want you to choose Chaim, not Chaim HaTov, not Olam Haba. That's not what I made you for. I didn't make you to be a Malach. I made you to live in this world. I want you to be here. There's reasons for you here, so utilize those reasons and do something good. The shame for Olam Hazeh is only from the Chassam Sofer. The shame of God for Olam Hazeh is Samach Ches Beis. Samach Ches Beis. Each one is two letters after the word Maves. Mem Nun Samach, Vav Zayin Ches, and Tof Aleph Beis. So Maves, if you take two letters afterward, is Samach Ches Beis. That's the gematria that the Chassam Sofer comes down to. Samach Ches and Beis is the gematria of 70 altogether. The same gematria of Bechayim. The Uvacharta Bechayim. That you should choose that life. That's Bechayim, that's 70. Chayim HaTov is represented differently. It's a different shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the shame of the letters in front of Yudkei Vavkei. The letters in front of Yudkei Vavkei are Tes Dalid Hey Dalid. The gematria of Tes Dalid Hey Dalid is 22. 22 is the gematria of HaTov. So you have HaChaim, the Bachaim, which is 70, Samach Ches Beis, and you have HaTov, which is Tes Dalid Hey Dalid. Nadav and Aviyu were people that could not take Olam Hazeh. Everybody knows the Midrashim. They didn't get married, right? Why didn't they get married? They weren't ready for this world. They didn't have children. They didn't feel like they were ready for this world. They said Masaya Musa. What they were saying is that this is not our world. What's going on here? The only way to live in this world is really to die for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They couldn't take things that were down in this world. Everybody knows the Medrash. They were Shtuye Yayin. They were drinking wine. You think none of them were drinking wine on the eighth day of the Miluim? On the day where they were becoming Kohanim Gedolim? They were drunk with happiness. The same thing that we say, Vehisha Amda on Pesach. Say, Vehisha Amda, we lift up the cup of wine. This is what stands for. It's like we're drunk when we're in Golos. It's like we're drunk. We have no idea what's going on. That's what it means. That they were so drunk all day long. They were Shtuye Yayin. Their heads were in learning. Their heads were in such great things all day long. They wanted Chaim HaTov. They wanted the ultimate life, the unbelievable life that only you can only get in Olam Haba. The only way to get to that, Madrega, is to die. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't push them back down. Here we go. Acharei Mos, Shnei B'nai Aaron. Achar means right afterward. Acharei means Achar Muflug, means far afterward. So Acharei Mos, what are the letters far away from Mavas? Samach, Ches, and Beis. Acharei Mos Shnei B'nai Aaron. After the mothers of Shnei B'nai Aaron, who couldn't take Bachayim, who didn't want to choose Bachayim, they should have, but they didn't choose Bachayim. The Korva Sam Lifnei Hashem. They got too close. Lifnei Hashem, the letters before Yud Hey Vav Hey. They chose that Hatov, the ultimate level of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But you Aaron, should not choose that. You should choose a regular life. You should be in charge of a regular life. You should do the regular life. That's what you're supposed to do over here. That's your concept over here. It's an unbelievable concept. That was that for the Chassam. So, but that's the end of what we have for Nadav and Aviv, for what their concepts are and what they were supposed to do. Rabbi Yasha says the Gemara. We all know the Gemara. Chassam Sofer is here. It's in the back of the Chassam Sofer Al Torah. In the back, there's a bunch of things from our official Sofer that he heard in a shir from the Chassam Sofer, and he wrote them down. The Chassam Sofer himself never wrote it down. It was a shir that the Chassam Sofer knew. You know how many Sfarni has just on Chumash? Just on Chumash. He comes to the most prolific writer of all time. It's the Chassam Sofer Al Torah. Torah's Moshe Al Torah. There's another thing that's called the Otros Chassam Sofer that has Likutin that he has from all over the place that he just had random writings. The Shalos Hetshuvos that he wrote plus the Drushos that he wrote aside from his Chidushim on Shas and his Chidushim on Shulchan Aruch. There is no one like the Chassam Sofer when it comes to writing. He is unbelievable and each one is gold. He's unreal in Chidushim after Chidushim after Chidushim. He probably has 50 Chidushim on this Pasuk Vacharei Mos alone. If you look through all of his different Perushim and all of his different all the different Pshatim, he's got at least, this is at the very, very back of one of his farms. Here we go. We all know the line, "V'chai b'hem." You should live for the mitzvos. It says, "V'shmat mitzchukos avis mishvatar shiras el shodim v'chai b'hem ani Hashem." Perik yud ches posukei. Should live to do the mitzvos. Your whole purpose in this world is to do the mitzvos. One of the lines that it says over here, "Yasa osam ha'adam v'chai b'hem." Isn't it interesting? Ha'adam is not referring to a Jew. Ha'adam could be even a non-Jew. A non-Jew can learn Torah and will get schar as if he's Jewish. He's as if he's Jewish. You know what the Gemara says? A goy that learns Torah is equal to a... Anybody know the line of the Gemara? Talmud Chacham is what you would think, right? As you would think. It's not what it says. No. Talmud Chacham that learns is like a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol. That's the line of the Gemara. What in the world does that mean? Why are you like a Kohen Gadol? What does a Kohen Gadol have anything to do with that? Why not say you're like a Talmud Chacham, like Zach just said before? Wouldn't that make sense? You learn a lot of Torah. You're somebody that would be a Tzaddik. You're somebody that would be a Talmud Chacham. So the Rebbe Yashiv quotes a Gemara. I never knew that. I never knew this Medrash. Having this Avak Ba'afar Agweya. You should revel in the dust of their feet. Referring to Talmid Chachamim, that refers to Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkanus. Vavishosa Bitsoma Es Divrayim. And drink thirstily their words refers to Rebbe Akiva. Why those two? What happened to Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkanus? If you look in the very beginning of Pirkei to Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkanus' story, unbelievable story of Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkanus, is an unbelievable shot from Rebbe Yaakov Weinberg, from the Roshiva of Neri Yisrael, but what the whole story means. We're not going to go through the whole thing. Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkanus only wanted to learn Torah. He worked for his father Horkanus, who was extremely rich, and he told his father, I just want to learn Torah, and his father said, please, other people will do it. You have problems. You have issues. You can't learn. You shouldn't learn Torah. Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkanus says, I just want to learn Torah, and his father said, no. And he was plowing in the field, and he started to cry, and he said, if the plow can make the ground, which is hard as rock, it can turn it into fertile dirt, it can turn it into fertile land for me to be able to plant seeds and to make plants grow out of it, don't you think the Torah can break through my head? So he ditched the plow in the middle of the field and ran to Yerushalayim to go learn Torah from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. In the end, such long stories, what happened, this and that, the other. Horkanus was madir, all of this, anoah from Rabbi Eliezer. He didn't want to give anything to him. He realized how great Rabbi Eliezer became, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus. Unbelievable Talmud Chacham. And like a bortit she'in ma'abed tipa, says Pirkei Avos Parak Beis Halachot Mishnah Tetzvav. It's unbelievable what Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkanus was capable of. Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkanus, somebody like that, having his avat b'afar aglayim, is he learned from the dirt. He looked at the dirt and he said, if it can happen to the dirt, if the dirt can turn over, then I can become a Talmid Chacham as well. Now you probably know how this shows the Bitsama is Divrein, that you would drink with thirst, their words, Rabbi Akiva. How did Rabbi Akiva decide to become from? I know Rachel was involved, his wife was involved, the daughter of Kalba Sabua. What did he see? He saw the water breaking through the rock, and he said, if the water can break through the rock, Torah surely can penetrate my skin. There's no way that Torah won't be able to penetrate my skin. So Rabbi Akiva went and learned. So Rabbi Akiva, which shows the Bitsama is Divrein, he's referring to that. So let's think for a second. The line of Avak and Mayim implied, what was their problem? They weren't smart. They weren't able to do things. They didn't think that it was possible to learn Torah if it didn't, penetrate. What does that mean that it penetrated? Just get the Torah. The point of Torah is not to soak up information. It's not to be able to sit there and have a lot more information in your head so when somebody asks you a question, you can now answer their question. Do you know a measure about Rabbi Akiva? Yeah, I happen to know how they show us if it's somebody's Debraim. It's not the point of it. The point of every bit of Torah is to be Mila yourself, to raise yourself to a new level that you weren't on the day before. If you go to a shir and you don't go to davening afterward, or if you go to a shir and you don't improve one thing about what you're doing, if you forget to make an alamichya or a brach achrona after you sat there, then you totally miss the point of any shir. Doesn't matter what you learned. Ah, but I didn't learn brachos. It doesn't matter. You should be mildly yourself to a new level from every bit of Torah that you learn. Not just some anything. That's the point behind Torah. The idea behind Torah is that Rabbi Akiva was not a total ignoramus. You know the whole story about the guy who was down the Chavskos? This guy went along and he told his farmer, I don't have any money, I don't have any land, I don't have any pillows or blankets, I don't have any food, I don't have anything to give you whatsoever. And the guy went home, and the guy met him in the middle of the Chag, and he said, what did you think when I told you that? And he dived in Lachavskos. The Gemara said that was Rabbi Akiva. That Gemara doesn't say it. It's brought down by the Rishonim that was Rabbi Akiva before he was a Talmid Chacham. Rabbi Akiva as an ignoramus was greater than any of us would ever be. Greater than any of us. So why wouldn't he learn Torah? Instead of suck a Mem Testament Aleph, he says, if I would meet a Talmid Chacham, I'd bite him like a donkey. Tomino who said to him, Revi, say like a dog. And he said, no, donkeys break bones. What's Rabbi Akiva's problem? What kind of a person says such a thing? What was he? Rabbi Akiva was not an idiot. Rabbi Akiva was very far from an idiot even before he started learning Torah at the age of 40. He knew things. He knew what was going on. But he didn't think Torah could change his life. He didn't think Torah could change him into anything. But he didn't realize. It's not like a regular chokhmah. You just memorize and you go on. You memorize it for the test. You pass your test. And then you go on with the rest of your life. And maybe you'll be able to pull it out when you're playing Trivial Pursuit when you're 42. It's possible you'll be able to pull it out. That's not what Torah is. It's not possible. It's not Torahable. It's cute for kids. It's not good for adults. There's no point to an idea of Torahable. To an idea of something like that. Rabbi Akiva felt it wouldn't affect him. Because most of us feel that way, right? Torah's not really going to do much to me. I'm not really going to get anything from it. It's why we don't learn all day, or why we don't learn every day at least. But he was wrong, because that's not what Torah is. Torah is the ability to affect anyone. And he saw what happened to that rock. He saw the water pierce that rock, and he looked at it and he said, that's the power of Torah. That's unreal. That's unbelievable. That's when he went. And at the age of 40, exclamation mark, he went and became Rabbi Akiva. Became Rabbi Akiva. By other chokhmas, you can always be a Socrates. The famous story with Socrates is that he was once caught with a couple young boys. And at the point, they said to him, Rabbi, what's going on? And Socrates said, right now, I'm not Socrates. Right now, I'm not. We can't do that. We can't do that. There's no possibility. That's a manuvel. That's the concept of a manuvel. Somebody who learns day and night, and sits there and learns, it can't be that person will be affected. And we know from, unfortunately, our history that people are affected by the Yetzer Hara. That means that there was something wrong in the first place. There was something up with that person in the first place, because it's not the ability that Torah has. And I know that comes to be a little bit controversial, and I know that's going to be, something that's all out there, but that's not the power of Torah. The daughters of Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, who went up with Ben Aza and Rabbi Akiva, but Elisha ben Avuya became an Apikoris. The daughters of Acher went up to Rebbe. It's brought down to the Gemara Chagiga, but it doesn't bring down this way. I didn't check up the Yerushalmi. I'm assuming this is from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that the daughters of Acher went up to Rebbe and said, Rebbe, Parnasenu, give us Parnasa. We don't have any money. We need money. We need money, they said to Rebbe. And Rebbe refused. He quoted a pasuk that all Rishayim, that their children and their grandchildren should be dead. Rishayim like Acher, that all their children and grandchildren should be dead. And they said, Rebbe, Al Tabit B'maisav, Habit Yitarasso. Don't look at his deeds. Look at his Torah. Unbelievable. Said Rebbe, he sat there and he cried. He said, that's not us. That's not Torah. That's not what the whole concept of Torah is. That's Chokhmas Umas Olam. It's the wisdom of the other nations of the world. That's garbage. That means that he never improved once from anything that he learned. And that's why the Gemara says, what was wrong with Acher? The Gemara Chagiga is a Shaila. What was wrong with Acher? How in the world did the Torah not protect him? Torah's Megin Umatzil. How in the world did it not protect him from becoming an Apikoros? And the Gemara answers, because when he learned Gemara, he had Yevani books. He had comic books sitting inside the Sfarim. And he sat there with little comic books, reading the comic books when he was reading the Sfarim. Pretending to learn, but he never really learned. He was brilliant, Acher. Probably more brilliant than any other Chacham in Klal Yisrael. But he used his powers of memory for bad. And he became Elisha ben Avuya. The Gemara also says he learned Zemer Yevani. He sang the Gemara to the tune of Greek songs. That's another thing for another time. I once heard Kedusha and Musaf to Gilligan's Island. Close to Zemer Yevani. Can't imagine it would be much better. Regardless, the concept of such a thing, such a concept, that's what caused them to happen. That's the idea. The Rabbeinu Yonah, you should know, this is a famous shita. Rabbeinu Yonah, Brachos, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis, holds that Devash is unbelievable. If something falls in Devash, no matter what it is, it could be a full berry, a full rat falls in, which would answer anything in any other case. It's not Batel. A berry cannot be Batel. Or Davar She'esh Lo Matirin, let's say. Anything falls into honey, the Rabbeinu Yonah holds, makes no difference. The honey makes it like honey, and it's mutter. The honey is still mutter. There's no other concept in the world. It's only honey that Rabbeinu Yonah holds it by, and it holds by all Isurin, that if the Isurin falls in, it makes it into mutter. Makes it into something that's mutter. However, anybody who's done Bava Basra, the very, very beginning, Gilmon and Aleph with Hortus, Herod took honey, and he, this is such a concept, he brought one of the daughters of the Hashmonaic kings, who he wanted to be together with. She died. She threw herself off a roof so she wouldn't be together with Herod. And he took her and kept her preserved in honey. So you see, that honey preserves you. It doesn't turn you into honey. It preserves the body. So what does that mean? Says Rebbe Eliashiv, Torah is metukim midvash. It's sweeter than honey. Because Torah is the ability to fix a person entirely. It's matuk midvash. It's even greater than honey. Honey can turn a little bit of something into just like honey around it, and it can make it mutter. Torah is even sweeter than honey. It can turn a full person into a totally different person. But if used incorrectly, then it just preserves your rishus. It goes around you, and it looks like you're full of honey. It looks like you're sweet as honey, but on the inside, you're just a rush of the whole time. Such an unbelievable concept. Such an unreal concept. And now you can finally understand this is how we're going to end. Bechukosem lo selechu, which is the beginning of that pasuk. Bechukosem lo selechu is don't go in their ways. There's a lot of different issues regarding Bechukosem lo selechu. Not going their ways. There's a big remotion, supposedly. In Chelech Ches, there's a whole big piece on what Bechukosem lo selechu, what applies, what doesn't apply. He talks about going to baseball games. In the end, he mouths it. Nobody has to worry. But he talks about going to baseball games. Is that Bechukosem lo selechu? What does it mean? The Gemara brings down examples. You know what the Gemara brings down? Tartios, Carcassios, and what's the other one? It's stadion, right? So theaters, circuses, and stadiums. Now, granted, they're not exactly what they are today. Not exactly the exact same thing. But let's be honest with ourselves for a second. Is there anything wrong with those things? Is there anything wrong with the PG-13 movie? This is classic. The guy in Skokie asked me if he could watch this PG-13 movie in the lounge where we have like a DVD player. I said, what is it? He said, it's a PG-13 movie. So I said, let me see it. He shows me the box. The back of the box is a woman half-dressed. She's like, what the heck? They had to put this on the box? That's for a 13-year-old? Like, if it was in the movie, that's one thing, but they had to put it on the back of the box? I'm like, I can't. Like, what do you want me to do? I just can't do it. There's no way that I can monitor such a thing. I can't tell you that you can watch it. Go ahead. I'm not going to tell you not to do it somewhere else. I probably should, but I'm not going to tell you that. Is it worth going to a circus where you know one of the top performers is going to be a female, and she's probably not going to be dressed? Probably not. Probably not going to be dressed. Is it worth going to a baseball game, or a basketball game even better, where the cheerleaders are all over the court? I got front row seats right there. I got front row seats. Yeah, you have front row seats to Gehenna. It's like right there. It's exactly what it is. I mean, granted, I'm not going to say you can't go to these things, but these are one of those.
You'll go to the basketball game if you're not going for the cheerleaders. I mean, maybe some people do, then they for sure it's us. But I think somebody who's going for the game,
Granted. I'm not going to tell you not to go. I'm not going to tell you you have to take off your glasses the whole time. I'm not going to tell you go to the bathroom. I'm not going to tell you something like that. I'm just telling you where the concept comes from. This idea, this is the concept. The Gemara, the Pasuk says, Valam will end up with, okay, this is the last part. Can I say Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Bo, Lo Sasu, like the people of Mitzrayim that you lived in, don't do. Can I say Eretz Canaan Asher, and maybe it's come Shama, but the people of Eretz Canaan that I bring you there, don't do. The Chukosayim Lo Selechu, don't go in the ways of the non-Jews. Why specify Mitzrayim and Canaan? You know why? What did we say in Parshat B'Shalach at the very end? V'yibeshalach Paro, v'lo nacham Elokim. When God, Paro sent out the people, God did not allow them, v'lo nacham Elokim, derech eretz plishtim, by way of the plishtim, kikarofu. It was close. God said, maybe they're going to see the war, they're going to go back to Mitzrayim. Why were the plishtim right there? What does plishtim mean? What does the word come from? Palestinians. Plishtim comes from the word mefulish, as in a mavui mefulish. Mavui mefulish is mentioned in Erevin. It means an alleyway that's open on both ends to a Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim is always Tameh. Rishus HaRabim is Tameh. The plishtim were the alleyway between the Tumah of Canaan and the Tumah of Eretz Mitzrayim. The plishtim were the alleyway between the two. They were the plishtim, they were mavui mefulish between the two. They combined the Tumah of Mitzrayim and the Tumah of Canaan. They put it together and they came out with the plishtim. That's what the plishtim stood for. Derech Eretz plishtim is that on the outside, they looked like great people. They used forks and knives. They were prim and proper. They stood up straight when they ate. They said they had their P's and they minded their P's and Q's. They were perfectly mannered. That was the Derech Eretz. Lo nacham Elokim, Derech Eretz plishtim means Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want us to even learn from the Derech Eretz of the plishtim. Why? Ki karavu. It's something that people get caught onto. When people see the war of the Yetzer Hara, when they start getting around these things, because once they start acting like those people, even the good things that they do, like Mitzrayim and Canaan, the good things that these people are doing, even then, Shavu Mitzrayim. In the end, you'll start doing these toevas. It's like the Gemara on Brachos Lamed Aleph Mabe says, you take a little bit of gold, you wrap it around a kid's neck, you put him by a Beis HaZonos, and you say, go ahead kid, do whatever you want. Who in the world, who wouldn't sin? Who in the world wouldn't sin? How could you not? You're given everything you need, you're right there by the Beis HaZonos, and your father tells you to go. What in the world are you supposed to do? If you don't have any boundaries, if you don't know what those boundaries are, you don't define them extremely well, I don't care what their Derech Eretz is. Their Derech Eretz is nothing to emulate. Everybody always uses the line, Imeim Derech Eretz in Torah. If you don't have Derech Eretz, you don't have Torah. It goes the other way. The Mishnah then says, Imeim Torah in Derech Eretz. If there's no Torah, you have no concept of what Derech Eretz is. That's the concept of what Torah can do. Not just acting good, acting like a good person, acting well in front of other people. That's not it. That's not only it. It's having the ability to define in the Torah what Derech Eretz is. And then you can go ahead and act. Okay, that was my Haredism for pretty much the year. I'm done with Haredism for the year. And now I'm going to take off my hat for the next six davenings. Just to ease myself out a little bit. But that's the concept. Our summary is doing a tziboy for the right reasons. L'kavod Shemayim. Number two, know your level. Don't go too crazy. That's why I started off that way. I like that I put in the chumras. Number three, Chayim and Chayim Atov. Olam Hazeh versus Olam Haba. Ubacharta b'chayim. Our level is this world. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer in Torah versus a non-Jew learning something not for the purpose of growth, but just for the purpose of being around there. And Derech Eretz of the Nations. Derech Eretz of the Nations is not the way to go. Shkaya, guys. We'll stop with that.